U.S. interest rates will move higher as intended today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In just over, 4 hours, we'll hear how high U.S. central bankers will go increasing interest rates to knock down inflation, maybe 0.75 percentage point. That would be the biggest jump in a day since 1994, by the way, but less or more could still happen. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
You can't rule anything out at this point. If we went back to last week, the consensus would say that interest rates would increase by 0.5% today. But we had not good economic data on Friday. So that CPI, the Consumer Price Index, rose much more than expected. And that signals inflation. That's the number the Fed watches to see where inflation is. And so the market has shifted its stance now. And a large part of the market thinks that that interest rate increase is going to be 0.75% because the Fed needs to take more aggressive action to try to get inflation under control.
And amid new concerns about government debt in southern European countries, the European Central Bank this morning held an emergency meeting on this and will buy more debt from these countries to smooth things out. Italian, Greek, Spanish, and Portuguese interest rates are relaxing some today, cheering stock markets there. The key stock index in Italy is up nearly 3% at the moment. Here, with 4 hours before our central bank's decision on rates, the Dow is up 335 points, 1.1%. The S&P is up 1.4%. The Nasdaq is up 1.7%. We continue to follow a bipartisan framework, a roadmap in the U.S. Senate on new measures to curb mass shootings in America. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is now on board this approach, which would use several strategies, including pushing more states to adopt red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Marketplace's Savannah Marr explains.
Most gun control measures in this country are reactive. But red flag laws kick in when there's a threat of violence, says Joseph Bloker with the Duke Center for Firearms Law.
And what they do is allow a judge to issue an order that a person temporarily give up their guns.
That order can come if a family member or a cop or a doctor, depending on the state, provides evidence that that person might hurt themselves or someone else. At a later hearing, the person has a chance to prove they're not a threat.
Due process absolutely still applies, but the Supreme Court has long recognized that sometimes the hearing can come after the original deprivation.
Like in the case of a restraining order or an involuntary commitment for mental illness. And while we tend to talk about red flag laws after mass shootings, they can be used to prevent much more common forms of gun violence, says Thurman Barnes with the Gun Violence Research Center at Rutgers.
You think about domestic violence situations, and also if someone is not well and is contemplating suicide.
19 states and D.C. have red flag laws on the books. Rosanna Smart, an economist with the RAND Corporation, says it's too early to say for sure if they're effective.
The fact that these laws are really recent,
most are less than 5 years old,
does create challenges for kind of drawing strong inferences.
She says the data we do have is promising, particularly when it comes to gun suicide prevention.
But these are not going to be a kind of a panacea for gun violence in a given state.
She says a lot more research is needed to figure out which kinds of gun control measures are most effective. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Lawmakers here in New York have voted to stop turning old power plants into generators to power computers creating new cryptocurrency. The concern is about extra carbon dioxide causing climate change and other environmental burdens. It will be a first of any state if the governor, Kathy Hochul, signs it. What is referred to as crypto mining is actually power-hungry computers that churn along solving complicated math puzzles to manufacture value in the form of, say, a new Bitcoin. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports.
Geneva, New York is nestled at the northern end of Seneca Lake, a destination that draws visitors in droves, especially this time of year.
Two glasses of Pinot Gris and one glass of what?
Cab Sauv.
Okay, I'll pour that.
The co-owner here at Billsboro Winery, Vinny Alipurdi, depends on those tourists to keep his business thriving.
We're a smaller winery. We produce around 4,000 cases.
But Alipurdi worries the region's tourism industry is threatened by a nearby power plant that started mining crypto here 2 years ago. The plant discharges warm water into the lake, which Alipurdi says affects the grapes grown in the region.
We're seeing higher humidity levels, warmer overnight temperatures. Has really been a major contributor to higher disease pressure in vineyards.
The plant, located just off the shore of Seneca Lake, was bought in 2014 by a company called Greenwich Generation LLC. It runs on natural gas, a fossil fuel. New York lawmakers just passed a 2-year moratorium that would block crypto miners from repurposing plants like this one. The state would use that time to study the industry's impacts. Assemblymember Anna Kellis sponsored the bill.
So it basically is saying, hands off our fossil fuel-based power plants that are retired in New York State.
Although existing facilities would be allowed to keep operating. Kellis says the crypto industry's intense power use will make it harder for New York to lessen its dependence on fossil fuels and achieve its climate goals.
Seems like a bad use of our energy as a state.
But Greenwich's operators say its emissions would make up 0.2% of the state's climate emissions targets for 2030. And John Olson of the Blockchain Association says restrictions like the moratorium could drive crypto investors and jobs away from New York.
That sends a very negative signal to an industry that is basically being welcomed elsewhere.
Governor Hochul has until December to sign the bill into law. At Seneca Lake, I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Cryptocurrency can also trade. Today, Bitcoin is down another 4% and down 55% this year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.